Might be a new song to many of you. I would encourage you to read the words, listen to the gospel truths. And as this has been, we've had many illnesses, many deaths. This was for those of you who know what happened in my life and my wife's life over Christmas time. You know, it's been just a challenging time lately, and so I would encourage you to be touched and listen encouraged by these gospel truths. To Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Yesterday in Hawaii, is that right? They said, alarm went off and it said, battle stations, there's a missile coming and attacking us. For 33 minutes, the people in Hawaii were going crazy. Is that right? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? In the news, of there was a missile from North Korea coming at us and attacking us. Were those people terrified? Terrified. Terrified for 33 minutes. They came back and said, a guy pushed the wrong button. That guy probably will get fired, you know. Somebody's got a role, okay? But battle stations, you know, on, incoming. We are at war. Is that right? We are at war. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I trust you there. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, this was last Sunday, be strong in the Lord. Amen? And then the power of His might, who He is, what He's done. Put on the whole armor of God next week, that ye may be able to stand, not fall, stand, win against the wiles of the devil. Here's this week, verse 12. For we wrestle. Is that pretty good, Joel? For we wrestle. I have it spelled. I have it W and then a big R, and I got red. So it's wrestle. I'm changing my West Virginia culture. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against human beings. Please understand this. I want you to hear me say this a couple times sermon. When unsaved people, when godless people do something to you, hurtful, harmful, it's Satan empowering them. Be compassionate. They're lost. They're deceived. And they're self-destructing. Huh? And you're the recipient, and it hurts. But I want you to know that we need to have compassion, because Satan, we're going to learn this morning, Satan has them captured. And we need to have great compassion on lost people, because they're being lied to, duped, and deceived. And it's sad. So don't get hurt too much when people hurt you, say things, accuse you, abuse you, whatever, at work or neighbors or whatever. Don't. It says, verse 12, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, people, here it is, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness, of evil. Where? And where does it say? In what? This world. They're here. Is that right? There's demonic power here, empowering some of the rulers of our day, some of the crazy rulers of our day. It's just devils working through those people. Is that right? Please understand that. And it's here. And then it says, comma, against spiritual wickedness, where? In the heavenly realms, okay? So there's spiritual wickedness on the earth that is empowered by Satan. And there's this spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies, unseen, but it's real, but it's unseen. And we're going to discuss that this morning, but I want us to understand that we're there, and it's amazing. Men have a handout. Our men are giving a handout. I want every person to have one. I want every third grader, every high schooler, every person to have one, because everybody's going to fill it out. If you need a pen or pencil, there's some in the pews there. Now, we're not going to fill it out to the end of the service this morning, but these are victory. Every one of us has some sins that the devil so easily besets us with. Is that true? Every one of us. Man, I fall at that one all the time. I get angry all the time. Or I just have a mouth that just goes and I can't stop it. I wish I could just tape it up with masking tape.
But my mouth gets me in trouble. My mind. I want you to think about it. Don't get onto it. Turn it on the backside with all the verses. That's what we're going to use first, okay? Turn it on the backside with all the verses, and that's where we're going to be. Number one, I have 6 points this morning. I'd like to get done by 22 minutes. Okay. Our first point here is that we are in a supernatural battle with our enemy, Satan. And that is so real. Let me just give you some verses here. These verses, this sheets are in the back there as handouts if you need all of these. So just listen here. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that Satan is the god of this world. In Ephesians 2:1-2, it says he is the prince of the power of the air. This is his world. And then in John 16:11, it says he's the prince of this world. And we realize that, wow, in our verse there on the wall there, it says 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Is that right? Be alert. Be vigilant. Looking, watching. Because whose adversary? Let's say it. Let's all put it in there. My adversary. Is that right? My adversary. That's what the word Satan means. Adversary. That's what it means. Devil means slanderer. But our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. When does a lion roar? When he's pouncing. When he's after you. Walking. Have you seen him sneaking through the... I just love to watch him. Okay. It says, walketh about seeking whom he may, what? Devour, destroy. That's our enemy. That's the evil one. And it's terrible. We're fighting there. We wrestle against the darkness of this world. He's involved in this world and in the unseen world. From the cradle to the grave, we're at war. And it's not just people that we're fighting. Yes, they do evil. There is deeper. There is bigger. There is more terrible sinisters of destruction going on. It's the evil one, the devil. He's a deceiver. He's subtle. He's clever. He's a liar. He's a loser. And that is so important. Secondly, everybody turn to Revelation 12. You got to catch this chapter. It's a wild chapter. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. We have to claim Christ's victory in this spiritual war with Satan. There is a spiritual warfare going on, and we're to be strong, and we're to put the armor on, and we're to fight for it very, very much, and it's very real. In 1 John 3, everybody turn to Revelation 12. 1 John 3, verse 8, it just says that the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, to win. And that is so important. When he's won, we win. And that's very important. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Look at it. Look at it. This is great. And there was war in heaven. This is the unseen. I want you to know this is going on. We will never see it. This is the demons and the angels. There was war in heaven. Michael, one of the high angels of God, and his angels, okay, fought against the dragon. That's the devil. And the dragon fought against and his angels. And the dragon fought and his angels, the demons. Verse 8. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. 35 times mentioned in the Bible, the slanderer. And Satan, 52 times mentioned in the Bible, the adversary. Lucifer, the anointed cherub in Ezekiel 28. 8:11-19, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Do you catch what's happened? This happened in the fall. The fall is being described here before Genesis. It was cast to the earth, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, that's Satan, the devil, of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God. He accuses us. You know, there's that Mike Fisher. He just told a lie. How could he be saved? You know, he's accusing. And God says, I forgive him. Isn't that great? I forgive him. You need to realize there is a man and going on in heaven all the time. When you do right, teenagers, children, when you do right, God's up there smiling. That's my boy. That's my girl. And Satan comes up and says, well, they sinned last week. And he says, yes, but I forgave them then and they're obeying me this week. And there's a war going on with good and evil in the unseen world, in the heavenlies all the time. And it's wonderful because God wins and Satan loses. And it says he accuses them before God night and day, never ending. Verse 11, and they, us, the believers, overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Is that right? Jesus wins, Satan loses, and by the word of their testimony, not only by Jesus saving us because he died for our sins, but we believe it, and it shows the word of their testimony. These people are not only just obeying it, but they believe it and live it, and it says they win. So there is an unseen battle going on in the heavenlies, and it's about us, and we need to know it's there. You'll not see it, okay? Don't worry about it. Don't go looking for it. Very important. Some people get all, I want to see it. No, you don't want to see it. It's beyond your thoughts. It's beyond. And you'll lose if you start playing with the devil. You're just to put your armor on. Is that right? You're to trust God, know that he's won, and I'm going to stick my armor on and report to the commander and say there's a problem here. Take care of it, okay? And keep my armor on. I'm not to do all the fighting. I'm just to hold my shield of faith up. Is that right? And keep the armor on because God wins. God fights. He's the winner. And it says in John 16:11, it says, "The of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He loses." On your paper, there's Ephesians 3:20, the third verse down. Look at it. On the back side of your paper where the verses are, Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," that's God Almighty in Jesus and Holy Spirit, "according to the power that worketh," where? Where? In us. Chapter 3, verse 16, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory," God's glory, Jesus' glory, "to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in thee," where? Inner man. That's, you mean to tell me God comes to live in me in the power of the Holy Spirit, and if I lean on him and let him, he'll help me? Yes, he's able. He strengthens. That was last week's sermon. And that's it. You know, you don't need to go looking for spiritual battles. There are people looking for spiritual warfare. No, spiritual warfare is in the heavenlies, okay? And don't worry about it. It'll find you. You don't need to go find it. And when you do, you need to report to the commander, put your armor on, and claim victory. Amen? Because when he won, we win. Number three, there is an unseen spiritual war with demons and angels battling on our behalf. Every sin, every problem, be it from Satan himself or our culture, the world, or our flesh, is that right? Is all from the devil. Okay? Now, he himself is not there because his world, this world is his world. Okay? And then our flesh, our fallen flesh, is from Him. You have the capacity in you to do any sin. Y'all know that? Have you figured that out yet? You can be walking nicely and all of a sudden something happened and you can get mad just like that. Figured that out yet? Not me. Yeah, me. And you. You know. Well, it's righteous anger. Oh, get a life. You're mad. You're sinning. You're in the flesh. And it is there. And he says, there is the devil. Turn to Job chapter 1. Everybody turn there. This is really cool. I wanted to lay some foundation here. You need to understand this. Job chapter 1. I can't read the whole chapter, but I'm going to read a few verses here. This is happening to you and me in the unseen world, in the heavenlies. Job chapter 1. Everybody there. If you like to call it Job, that's all right with me. Job chapter 1. Okay. Job, before the Psalms. This is happening. I believe this is happening to you and I. And why does temptations, why does tragedies, why does disease, why does trials and testings and tribulations happen to us? I don't know. But all I know is Job chapter 1 and 2. Chapter 2 is very similar. There is the unseen battle between good and evil going on. And Satan, when you're walking with God, Satan hates it. When you're having joy and peace, and when you're going to work whistling, and you take your Bible with you, or whatever, you get prayers answered. I got some great prayers answered this morning. Woo! When you're rejoicing in the Lord, Satan hates it. And he might go up before God and say, hey, I would like to tempt Mike Fisher. Now, none of us want to even think about it, but I want you to know it's happening. And if God allows it, it is for your growth and your good and your victory. And if he takes you to heaven through it all and you die, woo! That is so important. Let's go. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God, the angels, came to meet, to present themselves before the Lord. Whatever that means. That's wild. It's all in heaven. And Satan, catch this, came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, they talk, wow. Whence comest thou? What you been doing? And Satan says, then Satan answered the Lord. Wow, what dialogue. And said, from going to and fro in the earth, all over the earth, walking up and down, to and fro, up and down in it. The New Living says, I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. You're supposed to say, wow. Is that right? Wow, okay. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Oh no! And there is none like him. Does God know everything about Job? Knows everything about him. There is none like him in the earth. Verse 8. A perfect and upright man. He's a godly man. The word perfect means mature. One that feareth God and eschews evil. He stays away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? You know, hey, you bless him on every side. Verse 10, hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Does God protect us? I want you need to believe that. If you are trying to walk with God, now if you're walking away from God and you're not really spending a lot of time in the Bible and not trying to bless people and encourage people and lose your life in serving Him, is that right? If you are, none of us feel we do a good enough job. Is that true? But your goal is, I'm going to walk with God today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to get God's Word. I'm going to read my Bible. And I'm just going to go through God today. And I'm going to try to bless as many people as I can. If I can pray with somebody. If I can share with somebody. If I can help somebody. Is that right? That's my day. I hope you're there. That's my day. That's my day. Simple. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't try to figure it all out. Satan doesn't like that. And he says, you protect him on every side. You've blessed him with, he's rich, and he's got all kinds of kids, and he's got all kinds of goats and sheep and cattle. He's got everything. And you don't let me touch him. You've blessed him. If we're walking with God, does God bless us, our children, our grandchildren? Is that right? Our stuff? Is that right? I want you to know, that's a wonderful truth. Huh? Now don't get the big head. Don't get the big head. But God wants to bless you. And God's taking care of you. If stuff's gone bad, you need to know Satan had to ask God's permission. You know, can I nail Mike's truck? No, don't take my truck. Don't take my... You know, if the truck goes, what? The Lord giveth, what? And the Lord taketh away. Was that Job? Job was the richest man in the East, it says. Okay, let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. You've blessed him. You blessed him. You blessed his house. You blessed his stuff. Wow. You've blessed everything. Verse 11. But put forth thine hand. Lift your hand off of him. Lift your blessing off of him right now. And touch all that he hath. God had to do it. God had to allow Satan to do it. And he will curse thee to thy face. This is Satan talking to God. And the Lord said unto Satan. Here they're dialoguing. Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. You think he'll curse me? You think he only loves me because of all of his stuff and his blessings. Note this next phrase. Everybody look at this phrase. Teenagers, children, catch this phrase. Only upon himself put not thine hand. Does God still have total control of Satan? God is greater. Satan cannot do anything unless God gives permission. And God has a purpose for everything he does. And Satan just can't go pell-mell and just pound on people. And don't you ever think, God's up there punishing me. No. He only allows bad things to happen to you for your growth, for your good, and for your victory. That's the only reason. And it says, he says, take it off of him, and you can take his stuff, but you can't touch him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day, look at verse 13, I'm not going to read it. There was a day that there was oxen and donkeys, and the nation came in and destroyed them. So Satan has power over nations. And then in verse 16, fire fell down and wiped out all the sheep and the servants. And in verse 17, the Chaldeans came with three bands and killed all the servants and the camels. And then in verse 18, his sons and daughters were in a house and a great wind blew. Satan was doing all those things and killed all of his kids. Verse 20, then Job arose and rent his clothes and shaved his head. He's fasting and praying and fell down upon the ground and what? And what? Wow, that's heavy. God, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I love my kids. And I love all my stuff. But the Lord giveth. Is that right? And the Lord taketh away. What's it mean? Here it is, worship. Blessed be your name. It's all his anyway. Now, if you read the last chapter of the book of Job, did God give him back more, twice, double? God will do that. God is a God of good. And Satan is evil and destructive. And Satan has to get permission every time. And God's in charge. And aren't you glad all that? That's all unseen. That's happening all the time, night and day. Is that what it says? And every time something happens to you, note that there might be some heavenly events going on, and God's real proud of you, and he allows Satan to afflict you. Was there a thorn given to Paul in the flesh to keep him down? Yeah. And he prayed three times, the Lord deliver him. The Lord said what? No. This is good for you, Paul. How can bad stuff be good for us? When do you pray the most? When do you seek God the most? And so I want you to hear me. You have an unseen battle. You'll never see it. It's between the demons and the angels. It's the spiritual warfare. It's going on. It's real. It's about you. And God is God, and He's in charge. And Satan can do nothing unless God does it. And He only does it for your growth, your good, and your victory. And you need to trust Him. And when tough times come, you need to trust Him. Is that right? We just got word that Mr. John Sherman passed away this morning. And we don't like to hear that at all. Was John Sherman a great man? He loved our church. Moved up to Grand Rapids following his children. He just died this morning. Why does God do that? I don't know, but He's got a good plan. Huh? And Satan can't override God. Satan is a loser. Satan can only do stuff when God gives him permission, and God limits him every time. Read chapter 2. He does the same thing. And I want you to see that. Hope that helps you with the unseen. Don't even think about the unseen. God's the winner. Satan is the loser. And there's accusations going on all the time. And he's trying to jostle around like a chessboard happening all the time. And God allows some things, and God wins, and God blesses, and Job won at the end. Was it a long, tough time for Job? 40 chapters. How many of you enjoy reading Job chapter 2 to 42? Nobody. It's hard to even figure out what's going on. Who's saying what? It's a mess. And Job defending himself, and it's a mess, and his friends are accusing him, and it's a mess. And then at the end, what? God blesses Job double. And you just realize it's for our good, it's for our growth, it's for our victory. So bring it on. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Jesus said, Lord, I'd rather not go to the cross, but not my will, but thine be done. God, I'd not like to go through this valley of shadow of death, this sickness, but Lord, if thy will be done, I'd rather be healed from it, but your will be done. Is that right? God, you'll get the glory, and I might have to suffer terribly. I might have to be like Gracia Burnham. Is that right? Suffer terribly. Lord, using her great because of all that, huh? And please understand. Number four, real quick. Number four. Satan. How does Satan influence and cause our world, our culture, and unbelievers to resist, deny, and hate God, and to be self-destructive? This is why we need to be so compassionate. It is here. I'm not going to have you to turn to any of these. I'm going to run through these. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. It says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that we're of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. That's terrible. And in 2 Corinthians 4:4, look at it there. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of those who don't believe. We need to have terrible compassion on unbelievers, because he's destroying them. He is messing them up in so many areas. We need to befriend them. We need to model Christ before them. We need to share the good news of grace to them. Forgiveness, righteousness, and joy. Is that right? We need to realize that he's the dominant force, and he's destroying them. And is he doing a good job in our culture? He's doing a job through so much of the morality. He's calling good evil, and all the music. Is music destroying our culture? Oh, the words of music is terrible. Movies. What is movies doing to us? My! And then the media. Modesty. Have we lost it? The whole world just... how can people dress that way? Materialism. Merriment. Modernism. Mutiny. Rebellion. It's just destroying our culture. We used to have a culture that was dominated by Christian principles. And now we have an atheistic, humanistic, evolutionary culture dominated by situation ethics instead of absolute truth, and it's messing up all the world. Blame the devil. Blame the devil. Don't. You need to have compassion on our culture and in people that are following. It's a It's terrible. The next point is point number five. Point number five. How does the divisive tempter deceptively tempt us through culture we live in? This is outward. It says here in 2 Timothy 2:4, it says, don't entangle yourselves with the world's affairs. I just want to quickly state this. You can read these verses later in Corinthians there. These notes are on the back there. Satan, through our culture, is that right? The world. There's the devil, the world, and the flesh, okay? Through the world. Is he trying to tear our children and teenagers all to pieces? He's trying to get them to act and react and to respond like them. He's trying to get them to act like unsaved people. He's tearing the family, redefining the family. God has a definition of the family. And if you work God's family in Ephesians chapter 5, you'll have a great family. But our culture has messed our family up. The kids don't know if they're boys or girls or what. And I want you to know, if God made you a man, a boy, you're a man. Is that right? If God made you a girl, you're a woman. Is that right? And that's God's plan. And as we're being messed up, kids don't know what they are. I want you to know, God didn't make anybody a homosexual or what. He didn't. He didn't. And it's a cultural thing that's tearing us up terribly. And I love sports. You know, you can look at me and tell me I love sports, okay? That's a joke. But are we sports crazy in America? Sports crazy. Nothing wrong with some of it. I enjoyed watching the last 3 seconds of Notre Dame yesterday. Almost. Okay. But it doesn't affect my life. I just, you know, it hurt me for about 3 seconds. Okay. That's not important. Is that important? No. It really don't matter. And we get all hung up in all of the things. There should be a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. We're getting all hung up. We're supposed to be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. We get all stuck up on our stuff. We have in our culture today created time wasters. Have we? When you see a family eating lunch, every one of them are on their phone. What are they doing? Playing games. Don't get me on that. There's nothing wrong with it, son. Huh? But is it dominating our culture? They should be reading the Bible. There should be, you know, we forgot that we're soldiers. We're at battle. We don't need to entangle ourselves with this world. And to catch that last one, number six. I should be done right now. Number six. This is our flesh. This is your flesh. Your flesh, the temptations from within. There's temptations from without our culture. Then there's temptations from within. And James 4:1 says the battle comes from within. James 1:14 says we're enticed and drawn from our own lust and those things. Galatians chapter 5 gives us a list of all of our fleshly things, sins all around. Start looking at your victory chart. Start looking at your victory chart. That would tell you some different verses from Mark 7, Galatians 5, Ephesians 4, the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. I want you to start looking at it there. And because these are the ways Satan tries to get you. He tries to tear up. Satan wants to tear our church up. Do y'all know that? In 1 Corinthians 3:1-3, your text is on there. It just says there's envy and strife and divisions among you. There's jealousy, strife, and discord. There's people comparing with people competing with people complaining to people. Does Satan want to tear our church up? We have a pretty good church here. Not a perfect church. There's love amongst brethren, and we're all different. We're all a little weird. Everybody say amen. Okay? And it's amazing how any of us get along. But did he tell us to get along? Huh? He told us to get along. Well, I don't like that person. I don't care. You don't have to love him. You don't have to like him. You have to love him. And, well, they're different. Well, so are you. Get a life. We need to get along. Does the devil want discord, strife, jealousies, envies, competing, comparisons? Was it happening in the New Testament? Yes. God, the devil wants to happen in here. God puts it in your mind. Those people are talking about me. Devil puts it in your mind. Those people don't like me. Oh, get a life. You know, he's trying to tear us up. You don't yield to those things. Also, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 7, you can look at it later. There's a sin that it says after this sin in verse 27. The sin's mentioned in 26. And in 27 it says, don't give place to the devil. Do you know what that sin is in verse 26 of Ephesians chapter 4? That sin is anger. Do you know when you let yourself get angry and raged and mad and fussy and fighting, do you know you're opening the door to the devil? You're just opening the door. Does he just walk right in? And you get bitter and you get angry and you get fussing and you start complaining and then you want to have revenge and getting even. Is that right? It says, don't get angry. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It says, don't give place to the devil. When your anger, 99.9% of the time, is you're just selfish and you're opening up the devil's door. And he runs right in and all kinds of other sins come with it. There's another sin. There's another sin. I looked up all the texts in the Bible on Satan and devil. In 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, there's another sin. And it says, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Do you know what this sin is? Unforgiveness. If you don't forgive people, well, they don't deserve it. I don't care. You got to forgive them. Why do you got to forgive him? For Christ's sake, he forgave you. And maybe if you're not appreciating how much you've been forgiven because you're the most sinner you know, you know more sins about you than anybody else. Not me, preacher. I'm pretty good. Well, you haven't looked too carefully. You should be so appreciative of being forgiven that it knocks you to the floor that you could forgive anybody. When you refuse to forgive, bitterness seeks in. Is that right? All kinds of other things seek in. And you're unforgiving. Those are the two sins. Pride is another. It says in 1 Chronicles 21, it says, Satan rose up and made David number the Israel. Did it matter how many people was in David's army if they won or lost? No. Job said, David, don't do this. David said, yes, do it. I want to know how much I got. Job said, don't do it. And this pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy. How many, you know, I have this much money. I have this much stuff. I have, you know, competing, comparing, pride. That just opens up the devil. And ask Ron Lee, what sins are tough? And sometimes the sin of doubts. Does the devil want you to doubt that you're saved? Does the devil want you to doubt that God's God? Does the devil want you to doubt when affliction arises or health falls that God is God? Huh? When those doubts arise, it's from the devil. And you need to put your armor on. Is that right? Amen. And that's the key. That's the key to the whole thing. The verse that we have here, it says, 1 Corinthians 10:13. I hope you got it memorized. One of the first verses I memorized. It says, let's read it together. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it with victory. Amen? That's a great... Does it say that all temptation is the same to all people? That's what it says. It's the same. Satan's tempting me more than I can, you know. You always feel that your problem is bigger, okay? My situations, if you had my situation, you wouldn't trust God either. No, they're all common. Satan only has a few plans. He only works with pride, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Is that right? That's what he works at. And he works all everybody the same. He only has one plan, and it's all common. And God has a plan. And he says, hey, trust me. I will not let you be tempted by Satan. Be it sickness, be it stress, be it loss of job, be it a hard time in your family. Huh? I will not let you be tempted above that you can handle. And I will, with that struggle, with that loss, with that tribulation, trial, testing, I'll make a way where you can see your way through it and realize God's doing this for my growth, for my good, or for my victory. That's a promise. I want you to look at your paper right now. Everybody look at your paper. And I want you to roll through it and mark the things that you've gotten victory over. Sins that you used to maybe have and you don't have them, and you cross them out. Note the word cross out. I just want you to catch those things. Just look at them. Start down. I'm going to give you a minute here. There's not many things on this. Just quickly roll through it and mark things. Boy, I used to do that and I don't do that anymore. And there's some things you've never done. And so it's pretty neat. I just want you to look at it. Children, teenagers, please do this. Marking some things out. Hope you are. When you get home this afternoon, I want your whole family, children, teens, adults, to talk about it. I want you to check the ones that you're being tempted by. Talk about it. Circle the ones that Satan's really attacking you on, and go for victory. You can have some victory. You can have some victory. If you want to keep this pretty private to yourself, that's all right too. Don't push that, but this is a victory handout. This is a victory list. This is armed for victory. These are the ways Satan tempts you, tries you, destroys you. And you got to say, I'm going to put on the armor on that one. I'm going to put on the armor. I'm going to report to the commander and put the armor on and claim victory. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. Is that right? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to what? Bear it. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many saying this morning, preacher, I'm going to claim some victory in some areas this week. I'm going to claim some victory. Can I see your hand? I'm going to claim some victory. I'm going to claim some victory. I'm going to claim some victory. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Amen. Amen. If you're with us this morning, you know not Jesus. You need to get Jesus as your Savior. You need to realize He forgives your sins and He'll take you to heaven and He'll give you joy and peace. And wow, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand. Let me pray with you. Everybody, pray. Everybody, heads bowed, closed eyes. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anybody? Anybody? I'd love to pray for you. Keep seeking God. Because if you seek Him, you will find Him. Keep seeking victory. The enemy is there. He's real. He tempts. He tests. He tries. He can do a lot. But if you have your armor on, you can stand against every dart of the evil one. Victory. Victory.